Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay, but it is especially good to be back here. Bachelor, fan favorite, but also host of his new show, Going Home with Tyler Cameron. Tyler Cameron, thank you for coming on.
What's going on, you guys? Happy to be here. Freaking miss you guys. We're back, baby.
We're so back. I remember I met Tyler the first time he came to the Betch's office, and we did the dirty dancing lift in the middle of the office. And the terror of my face, I remember he like looked at me and my eyes just went wide. I was like, the pressure right now is unbelievable.
I've had a little more training since then. I think we could knock it out right now, okay? I think if we were together, we could have just totally ripped it.
I'm pumped for you, Tyler. I talk about you behind your back a lot. I gotta say, I'm out here. I hope you feel your nuts tingling all day long because I'm out here telling everyone what a great guy you are and how awesome it's been to get to know you over the years. And now this show that you've been talking about. Redoing your family house since I've met you. This is like a real thing. And now that there's a show that you can go watch on Amazon Prime, I'm a huge fan. I want people to go watch the show. Give us the rundown of it so people can go watch it, but they should all go watch it. It is fantastic. But this is something you have you bring up without cameras around. If you're like, hey, Tyler, how you doing? It's like, I'm redoing my mom's old house. You know, like that's like all I've talked to you about.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is something that we've been, it's kind of become my life ever since, you know, COVID happened. I moved back home and I saw the market starting to change and I saw like people were just buying houses and they were tearing them down and building bigger houses and selling it for so much money. I was like, I gotta get in the game. And I bought a couple pieces of land and I started building houses and selling houses with my pops again. And that was like my kind of reintro back into construction and whatnot. And then we've always had the idea of doing my mom's house and we wanted to do a show around it. And I just kind of let it get worse and worse and worse. And so that means I didn't have to be that good of a builder because the before was so, so bad that anything would have been a great after. But I think you guys truly do see on the show how amazing the transformation of my childhood home, my mom's house is. And it was great. You know, it's got a lot of heart. I always ask everybody, like, what's your favorite episode? And everyone says episode 8. And they usually say it was just so emotional. It made me cry. And then they also say it because Hannah Brown was on. I'm like, all right, guys, you know.
Still there.
This is like, a great.
Something. You guys looked at each other. There's something there.
Does that get annoying? Because we're reviewing, so this episode of The Bachelor, we're going back in time. We're taking a trip down memory lane, and we're watching opening episodes of different iconic reality TV show seasons. So we did Flavor of Love, we did Colton season, and now we're here on your season of Hannah Brown's Bachelorette season, and to this day, people are trying to fix you up still. Is that getting annoying? Is there a point where you're like, enough already? Is it like two friends that kind of like just know the joke, know the bit at this point?
Pretty much. I think it's that, you know. I think we definitely care about each other. We want to see each other happy and succeed. It was great having her on the show. And it was definitely kind of like, you know, I was like, who can I need to help renovating the house. And we had this client who was like a huge Bachelor fan and my designer was like overworked. We had like four projects going on. She's like, I can't take it anymore. I can't do anymore. I was like, well, let's clone you. Let's figure something out. And then I was like, all right, screw it. Let's call Hannah. This girl, this lady is obsessed with The Bachelor, whose house we're redoing. She was like, if Hannah just spit on the wall, it, she'd be like, this is amazing, you know?
It'd also be a porno someone might watch.
It could be. It could be. Could be going home with Tyler after dark, you know?
Right.
Sign me up for that episode.
Yeah, Kay, I already saw your credit card come across my OnlyFans account, so
I know you'll be the first
one to sign up. Yeah. But, you know, it's great that we, after all we've been through, we can still call on each other and be there for each other, support each other. If she ever needed me to come do something, I'd be there to help her. And I think, like, you know, vice versa.
I think it's great because, you know, you see, you have your show Going Home with Tyler Cameron, you bring her on the show, but then, you know, going back to that first episode of The Bachelor, the first thing we see is you in your construction belt, shirt off, dancing. So like this has been you from the beginning. Like it's a full circle kind of moment.
Yeah, no, before The Bachelorette ever called, I was at home. I was studying to get my GC license. I was building my first house and I was getting ready to start my second house. And I was making like $200 a week. My dad wasn't paying me shit. I was just supposed to get money at the end of it, you know? And I still haven't got that money. We built this house, and then The Bachelorette started calling because I was bored one day, and I sent a little application in.
Application. I like knowing who sent it in. You sent
it.
Well, I was originally trying to go out for the WWE. And
you're going to do wrestling.
I saw an ad for the WWE. I was like, I will fucking put on some red underwear, red boots, and I will kick some ass. Wow. And
you got the look. You're the type of look that, you know, That work, you baby face, as they call it.
Yeah, it could have been the baby face assassin. And they didn't hit me back right away. My boys were like, see what else you can sign up for that night. And so I found The Bachelorette, signed up for that, and they started calling me right away. And next thing you know, I'm going to LA, you know.
Well, when they go and do like that hometown, like, you know, segment where they come and, you know, I'm Tyler, I'm the general contractor, you know, and you're dancing. Are you, like, is there a hint that you're, like, getting taken in under the wing of the Bachelor producers? Like, what's, or do you have any feeling? Because you're not, like, a featured player on this first episode.
No.
You get, like, you get that opening, and then that's it.
That's to my own detriment. So, like, the opening, right? The story behind this is, like, before The Bachelorette ever, like, once they sent me the contract to go on the show, I had a modeling agent at the time. I sent it to him. He's like, don't do this. Like, you already, like, you're going to make money. You're going to be a great model. Like, you're going to do amazing. Like, don't do this. He's like bringing up, like, we can use all embarrassing things against you, like, in the contract. All these things that are, like, basically, like, we can do whatever we want with you. And right. I'm like, I don't care. They can't get me for anything. Like, I'm not going to give them anything. You know?
Yeah.
But I would assume a modeling agent's, like, biggest fear is a model having, you know, just, like, having an opinion on something that gets them in trouble that loses them work. You know? Like,
exactly.
That's, like...
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're, like, we don't care if it's... You know, I guess from the agent's perspective, it's, like, you know, risk-reward. It's, like, mm-hmm. Okay, it might be a good opinion, but... You go on The Bachelor and embarrass yourself, you're out. It's over for you. Like, that's their thinking.
For sure. And like, he's had people go on the show before, and it didn't help them at all. You know, they just got booted right away. Because most models are dumb. We don't know how to speak, you know? Right. And so, I get it.
But you're coming on, you know, you're like the perfect version of a model to go on this show. Because it's like, I got shit going on. Like, I'm going to build these houses.
Yeah.
I got, like, a life. I got friends. Like, this isn't like Derek Zoolander. You came in with, like, good things going on, right?
And a personality. Yeah. And, like, I felt so much more than just, obviously, the model aspect. And I liked that you had this, like, goofy dancing kind of thing because, you know, you don't always get the beauty and the goofy together.
Let's also be real. What kind of model was I really at this point? I did, like, two jobs, you know?
Oh, okay.
And, like, one
job. Good-looking college graduate. With a side gig. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Exactly. And like the
but
one
that's my point. Like that's your power, really, because you're like, what the fuck? Who cares? It's after college. Let's figure this shit out.
Yeah, I have nothing to lose. So I went and did the show. And then what's so funny is David Spade, like he rips me apart when he sees my intro, because he's like, is this guy stone high and drunk like all at the same time? Like, is he all like, you know? Because I came out of there like, yeah. I'm tired. You know what I mean? Like, I had all this stuff rehearsed in my head. And when I came out of, like, I was the last person ever that night to come out of the limo. So I saw everybody go all night long. So, like, you think I would, like, really? Be prepared and whatnot. And then I get out of the car. I see her. And I see all this just giant wall of lights and cameras and everything. And I shit myself. And
yeah.
I literally, like, just start. I said what I was supposed to say, but I had no idea I was saying it. It just started coming out and I blacked out. And
well,
I get in there and I'm like, oh my God, did I say anything? And I just felt like I was talking on the side of my neck. Got in there and then I was so petrified of everybody because I'm like meeting people. They're like, oh, Dylan Barber, like, yeah, I have an app and I have this business and he looks like a billionaire. And then you have John Paul Jones who looks like Heath Ledger and he's this finance guy. And I'm like, I make $200 a week and I say I'm a general contractor, but really I just kind of got through my first house. So I was like, I'm the real scammer here.
Right, right, right. I guess I'm, it's funny to hear it from your perspective because we just watched the episode. Like we just watched it. And one thing that's apparent is that everyone seems nervous with Hannah. Like all the men are like flubbing, like, you didn't seem you seem more high drunk. I'm just chilling here. But there were other guys that were really like stammering. Like you could tell, like, did you feel that like did Hannah feel like a star in that first episode?
Because she felt like a star all the way up until like Scotland. Then I was like, oh, this girl's like a girl and she's cool and I really like her. No, maybe before that. But it was maybe Rhode Island. It was actually like when we had like our first date. Or maybe a little before that, but like at that point in roller derby, like I was like, this girl is a rock star and I'm just so cool. I'm just so happy to be in her presence and her aura and just smell her, you know?
Yeah.
If you weren't this good looking, that'd be creepy.
Yeah.
I actually think the same thing. I hadn't seen her show in so long, but I've been watching her on Special Forces, which was unbelievable. I became like the biggest Hannah Brown fan after Special Forces. Mm-hmm. And then, but seeing her rewatching this season, I'm like, oh yeah, this girl has like legit star quality, like that glow that you see when you see celebrities, like they just have something about them. That is definitely her.
Yeah. It's like weird. Like right now, like I see a lot of the old TikToks from our season come up a lot lately. It seems like. And I still watch it as like a proud friend, like, let's go move that podium, you badass. And like still cheering on, like she telling her that Jesus still loves me, all this stuff. I'm like, damn, Anna, you really, really killed it. Like that was like the best television ever. And like had America like on edge and like just every time she had the opportunity, she knocked it out of the park.
So on that subject, what was your feelings on Luke on that first night? Like, did you meet him and go, just a bro? Like, or could you feel that, like, this guy was a little bit different coming in with an agenda? How did you feel about him coming in?
The Luke relationship with me is pretty funny because I'm always, like, I never got to see any of his shenanigans. We were never really around the same dates or doing the same things at all, so I never got to see any of it. It wasn't until Scotland. Like, I remember I was sleeping with Grant Echols in my room, and he was snoring so bad that I went and shared a bed with Luke, you know, and I was like, what's up, bro? Like, can I come sleep in here, you know? And this is at this point,
a porno for another person. This is, exactly. You're like writing, fan fiction at this point. Okay.
And at this point, Luke was like kind of already like going at it with the house, but like I was never really had an issue with him because I was always just trying to like, talk to him like, man, if you just be respectful of like other people's time and Hannah's time, like, you'll be good with everybody, well, you know?
Hold on for a second. On that subject, there was a TikTok that came up for me the other day about you and him having that interaction on the couches where you're like, where you basically, you know, and it was like a big, it felt like a big moment. Like, you basically just tell him, you're like, this, you're not, you were like seeing it all for what it was. Like, it was very calm and collected, and it wasn't TV. It was like, hey man, we know what you're doing here. So you were kind of on to him a little.
Yeah, I started to catch on. I was probably like the last one to jump ship, because I was just like, I don't like to like leave anyone out or single anyone out. And like, at this point, everyone was like isolating him, and I was like trying to like get him to be good with everybody. And then he just kept screwing up and screwing me over and screwing everyone over. I was like, fuck you, I'm good. Like then I started really flipping the script on him, and then that was it. There was like, I just couldn't believe. And then when you watch it back, I'm just like, I can't believe she kept him around. Like what in the world was that?
I had theories. I actually, watching this episode, it felt like he was like a, he was scripture suave. Scripture suave is what I would call him. Like, he spoke like a bio of a, like a mega church. Like, he was like, he knew how to speak from that angle. And you're like, and I could see how Hannah like has that in her life. Again, Jesus loves me because even when I've had sex, like, you know, so he's speaking from an angle that I was like, I could understand how like someone with Hannah's background and where she's from being like, he's saying the right words. He's speaking. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
They could speak that language to each other, which none of us could. And that gave them like a way to connect that none of us really could. And like, that was a big thing for her. She was very religious. And she even was like, you know, to me, like, I want religion to be a big part of our life. I was like, yeah, whatever you need.
Yeah, babe.
I'll be there right at the pew with you with both hands up. You know what I mean? Whatever you need.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights out on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with this exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It is targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. It is amazing. I've been wearing it for years now. It fits me so well, and I'm not kidding you. When they say it doesn't roll down, it does not roll down, and it hugs you in all the right places. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Was there anyone that you saw on night one that you were like surprised didn't really catch with the greater audience? Was there someone that you're like, that guy is a character, I could see him being, you know, the star of this season? Was there anyone on night one that you kind of saw that?
Well, I think John Paul Jones is like the best looking one out of all of us. He's so funny. He's so smart. He's just like a little quirky and weird and like, not really good with like talking to Hannah, you know? And I think that like, and we got to see him on Paradise and he was just TV gold, you know? And like, he is so funny and it's just him, you know?
He blew up our podcast on Paradise because this is when I was still hosting with Derek Paith. And John Paul Jones and Derek got into a big fight on Paradise. And John Paul Jones kept saying, Derek, you're just here for your podcast. And I remember watching that and being like, yes,
yeah,
keep
right?
going. I couldn't believe it.
He's just so funny. And like, I'm surprised that he's not doing TV, like movies, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he jumps off the screen on this first episode and he is a character. Like, you're like, yeah. This is a total character. Do you keep up with him still? Do you keep up with guys from this?
Not much. I don't really keep up with many, you know. I think I'm kind of like isolated down in Florida, but that's kind of how I like it, you know. A lot of guys, like, you know, I was hanging with and whatnot, but I'll be completely honest with you. Like, I'd go out with some, like, a lot of the guys back in the day, and like the stuff they would say to people around us, I was like, I can't be around this, you know. Like,
yeah,
they're just rude to girls or saying crazy stuff to them, and I was just like, this isn't a good look. And to be honest, like, everyone in Bachelor Nation, they just all become best friends all of a sudden. I was like, I'm gonna go actually hang out with the best friends I grew up with, have known for the last 10 years.
That's what I'm saying. I talk about that. Jared and I have talked about this many times. It's like the second you're on the show, it's like all of a sudden the people you knew before didn't exist, and you've only known these people from the show this entire time. And then you start seeing all like the cross seasons and everybody like mingling together. And it's like, so you no longer have friends that aren't on the show?
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I just always like, I don't know. I'm a homeboy. I like to be like my friends. I always like my friends more than, I don't know, like being out with people. I think what happens is the show, you're in such an uncomfortable bubble that you just gravitate to each other. I mean, we sat there and played spades one day for 6 hours straight and just drank beer. You know, like all you have is each other and there's nothing else to do. And so when you get off the show, you're now thrown in this crazy world and all you have is each other to talk about it, you know? And so it's easy to kind of like get sucked into each other, but I don't know. It just always felt weird to me. And I don't know. I've always liked my friends better.
There's two other things that happened in the first episode. Okay. The one is the guy, Scott, who had a girlfriend coming on.
God.
Now,
where's Scott today?
I forgot about that. That was crazy.
Right. And listen, it's hard when you watch these
Scott
episodes.
Scott fucked up
to
my first date, man.
Is that what happened?
I mean, he took up so much time that by the time I tried to talk to her, it was like 6 a.m. They were like, it's done. Like, you're screwed. And I'm like sitting there shitting a brick on the podium. Like, I'm going home, you know? And then I started to get a little relief when I started her like seeing, like giving roses to people who didn't talk to her. I was like, oh, I have a chance. I have a chance.
Right.
But for sure, I thought I was going home night one.
Well, that was the talk of the whole, you know, second half of the episode. It's like, I didn't get any time because this guy's Scott. It took all this time. And I mean, have you watched that back to watch Scott defend having a girlfriend and then accuse Hannah of she just dated Colton, so it's the same thing?
I was screaming.
It is jaw-dropping. It is like an unbelievable man moment. Like one of our low points as men, I think.
I was seeing red that entire time.
Hey, men will deny till they die, I swear.
Right.
I mean,
and then
wow.
The other thing that happened is, you know, I always forget that Jed won the season. Like, I kind of forget Jed the head. And he came in and he does have a look that is a little bit artisty, like a little artist look when he comes on. A lot of the men on this season look very similar. And so he kind of stuck out. He's got a bow tie on. When you saw Jed, you know, playing the guitar for her, are you like, get out of here, dude? Are you like guitar guy? Or are you like?
We never really saw how much he was playing it on the other end, like to her.
Yeah.
You know, but he would like kind of play around and mess with it with us. And then we would all be like joking around and singing songs that we all knew and he'd strum. And we would like get drunk and have fun doing it, you know? And
right.
Yeah. And so, but I never knew like that was like the way he communicated to her the whole time was through singing. And like for her, I felt like he was like the guy who was Southern from like where she's from pretty much, you know, and like, you know, like living that Nashville dream, you know, like I wonder if it would have worked out with her and him like how much that would have like projected his career, you know, into maybe being something pretty good in country music. Instead, he kind of like, I remember like when he was on the show, he had gigs going on and he would have full crowds at the Nashville bars. Everyone came to see him because one, they thought he won and was on the show and was a good guy. And two, he was pretty decent, you know? And so everyone would be at these events. Right. And so I'm like, if it was to work out and him and Hannah were to be something, like, could he have been something more of a star instead of having everyone hating on him?
Yeah, he let that flop a bit. I mean, that's a
I always felt fail. Bad for him. I felt bad. He came on our live show in Nashville, and he seemed pretty not happy with the whole thing. It seemed like he was just like ready to be done with it. You know, he was like not looking to talk about The Bachelor or whatever. And even though he was doing our live show, and then the other thing I always felt bad for him was it got during the season, it got out that he had a dog food jingle. And I remember that became like a big punchline for everybody. But in my eyes, as a comedian, if a comedian gets in a commercial, you're like, that guy's working. They're making good money. Those are residuals. Like, if you're in a commercial, you get it every time it plays. If you did the contract right, you're getting cash. So I was like, this guy's a working musician. Like, and I just, it was like one of those like brunch female moments where like you see the whole table of women like cackling at like something. And you're like, it kind of felt like Bachelor Nation was doing that at the dog food commercial. And I was like, I don't know if he can really win the PR war, you know?
No, that point it was kind of like hunker down, let the storm go over, and then try and come out alive on the other side.
Right. Do you ever keep up with him at all? You ever hear from him?
Not really. No. I think when like me and Hannah kind of started hanging out again, that didn't really, you know, that wasn't really good for our relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. He probably hated that.
Wasn't really good for that one. But like the whole time he was like, you know, still with her and like this stuff started to come up, I was like, Jed, just face it. Just go to her and talk through it. And like, you know, don't let it become this big thing, you know? And I mean, I don't really know what happened on the other end, or if he ever did, or if it started to become too big. Like, I don't know, you know? And
you should teach PR class.
Yeah.
I have my theories on certain things, and I think I would be really good at that. But
I do, because you, even the way you handle things in the show with that TikTok we talked about before, but like, even that perspective, like, just go do it, go straight through it. Like, just talk it out. Like, you, it feels like you would be a good mentor to someone going on The Bachelor.
I think you would too.
Yeah.
I think you should consider that. Bring you on as the licensed therapist, you know, that sits backstage with everybody.
Like, you know how in the NFL when they go in the draft, someone teaches everyone that's going in the draft about money, you know, and PR?
Let me just be the co-host and let me just go in there and hang with the guys. I'm like, what's going on, y'all? Let's talk through this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Imagine Jesse Palmer and Tyler Cameron. What a bro fest. I'd watch it. I mean,
good luck to all the couch cleaners out there.
Shut up. I know.
Oh, boy. But honestly, I have to say our season may be the best ever because the storylines you could never write. I mean, for instance, Jed's girlfriend from before the show is now married to Hannah's brother. Like, it's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know this? Oh my gosh, Jared. It is something out of like the Twilight Zone.
It is the gift that keeps on giving. There's just amazing. It just, the story never ends.
Well, and there's so many people, like, as you mentioned, Dylan Barber in the white tux coat. I mean, hilarious. Even the guy that looked like Nick Viall, that guy was like,
oh, Luke.
Luke was kind of a character. There were all these people on here like that were actual characters in the, you know, the Bachelor oeuvre that I had forgotten about. Like, and Connor, who now shows up on my TikTok, he's promoting a dating app or something. He's got
it's like a electrolyte.
Yeah, he's like brushing this electrolyte water supplement company that him and his friend started. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing big stuff. Like,
right.
It's pretty amazing how everyone's been able to
Mike
spiral.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson was a huge character Who else? I mean, Luke Parker was
Matt Donald. Matt Donald ended up being on Paradise, and he went home night one.
Yeah. Luke Parker was the best character of the whole show. If there's no Luke Parker, this show is not as crazy or as fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Batman needs the Joker, you know, yeah. Like you know, because, and he represents, like, the way he went about it. He's a born again. He's like, I was, you know, this way in college, and now I'm, you know, I'm waiting until marriage. You're like, this is a population. This is a faction of the country. Like, and again, to go back to, like, every week, him and Hannah had this connection that you couldn't have with her, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting watch. I totally agree.
Every week he'd come on, people would be yelling at the screen, and then Hannah and him would just be, you know, reciting the lines. It was amazing. It was amazing. Everyone's like, no, stop it.
Right. Well, listen, this is such a pleasure. We want everyone to go watch Tyler's show. It's on Amazon.
Yep.
Amazon Prime. You can go search it up. If you're a Prime member, you have it. You have the subscription.
You don't even need Prime. Because it's on Prime and it's also on Freebie. So if you just, Freebie's free for everybody. So you can just go on and watch it. It's awesome. But yeah, it's on Prime Video. It's all 8 episodes right there. You can stream it right now. Watch it all.
Everyone needs to go watch it and enjoy it. You got to get to episode 8. You got to see the reunion. It's like when Seinfeld did the reunion on Curb. Like, it's like, like he did it in a different way.
Different way. I don't even know what happened in Seinfeld, so I can't follow up on that one.
Don't worry.
I'll teach you all about the Jewish ways, Tyler. Just like Luke tried to teach you about church, I'll teach you about Seinfeld. Are you dating anyone? Are you seeing anyone? What's going on? That's the question that is annoying, but that's the one
we need to know.
People want to know.
Yeah, I'm dating. I'm back in Jupiter trying to date down there, and you know, I'm kind of removing myself from like New York and LA. I've been focusing on like building my businesses and whatnot, and so I just need to find something that's good for me down back home.
What's the restaurant? Yeah. Three Natives.
Three natives, right? Yeah.
I've been. It's great.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We just opened up on the Atlantic Avenue. Yeah, we got one in Boca. We just opened up on Atlantic Avenue. So we're going, and then
on
someone
the
else
Avenue?
Is opening up. Yeah.
We say this every time. I'm not just saying this because we're on air, but we got to hang. I always screw that up because when I come down there, I mean, I love Delray Beach is my number one suggest a weekend to people place right now.
Well, once I get you to Jupiter, it'll switch.
Okay. I gotta go see Jupiter.
Yeah, I'll get you on the boat.
I'll get to Jupiter.
My house is almost done. I'm renovating my new house right now, and so when my house is done, I have the guest bedroom ready for you guys. I have two. So okay,
I have one rule. I have one rule for the boat day, Tyler. Shirts on. You and I are not going to be. No pictures of us shirtless.
I'll have you like 5 or 6 tequilas deep. You'll have your shirt off in no time. It'll be fine.
I know.
No time.
You know I will. And then we'll look like we're a commercial for that, you know, for Ozempic before and after.
Yeah, you'll be great out there. Don't worry.
Well, we love you, Tyler. And it was cool to watch you, just your evolution. I remember watching it, and it was cool to look back and see, you know, the birth of a star.
Truly, how far you've come. It's great.
No, I appreciate you guys. It's been a fun journey, and you guys have been great friends throughout it. So you guys keep ripping it. You guys have grown up so much and done so many great things. I mean, Jared, you're like selling out fucking shows and shit now. It's amazing.
He's here in L.A. tonight. So
you're in L.A.
We're going to do it.
If it comes out today, if people are listening, Tyler Cameron told you to come to my show in L.A. I'm here for Netflix as a joke. And I did see David Spade I did the golf tournament. They had a golf tournament on Monday, and David Spade was there. And I went up to him, and I was like, I'd never met him in person. I'm like, I'm Jared Fried. We've talked about The Bachelor. And he's like, yeah, we have, you know, like immediately. And then it was sick. And then it was like 11:30 and they had like a bar, and I was like, I'll have a beer. It's Monday. We're playing golf. I had a beer, and David Spade was like, whoa, beer at 11:30. I'm like, What? Didn't you hang out with like Chris Farley and shit? Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
don't judge me.
I was like, I'm the issue.
You know, we all get old and washed up, and we're not as fun anymore. You know,
right?
Yeah, it happens.
That's right. So he's lost a step, I guess. Tyler, a pleasure. Everyone, go watch Tyler Cameron new show. Tyler's going home. It's on.
Going
Freevee.
Home with Tyler Cameron.
Going home with Tyler Cameron. I'm fucking up the thing. I'm an asshole.
It's now easier than ever to go home with me, guys.
Right. You can go home with Tyler Cameron, okay? Freevee, Amazon Prime. Go watch. Thank you again, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Appreciate you guys.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. And for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Did you recently say yes to marrying the love of your life? Do you have no idea where to begin your wedding planning journey? Has your future mother-in-law already made you cry? Have you gone through the whole wedding planning process and have some wisdom to share? The Betches Brides podcast is here to help you laugh or cry through it all. I'm Selena Kopic, and I'm the new host of Betches Brides. In this season, I'll take you along my wedding planning journey alongside my co-host and good bestie, Chelsea White. We'll swap wedding planning stories, answer your wedding planning questions, and be totally honest with you on if you're actually being a bridezilla or not. Betches Brides is here to help you not trip down the aisle. So be sure to tune into Betches Brides every Monday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow at Betches Brides on Instagram for even more wedding inspiration.
All right, welcome back. We just got off the interview with Tyler Cameron. I'm reeling still. I have makeup on. It's before 8 a.m. We're
what
living.
What a guy. I got to say, like, I say this all the time, and I hope I don't sound like I'm just, like, you know, like, bullshitting. Nobody, I have never met someone in this whole world of Bachelor that is as honest and cool and just who he is than that guy. Like, I
agree.
Total just. Mensch, if I'm gonna be an old Jewish woman for a second, just like a totally great guy. I'm all, and I say I want to hang out with him, and we text sometimes. You know, he gets back to me like mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you getting back to me, the gremlin who lives under a bridge talking about The Bachelor? Like it's crazy. You know, he's such a nice guy.
He's so nice, and like the fact that he like keeps up with everything, and he I mean even in our interview, like he was so open about how things happened, how he felt about things. He's like, yeah, I don't fuck with these guys anymore. Right. Like, I love hearing that. It makes you feel like, okay, I'm not actually going crazy when I see all of them together all the time. It makes me feel crazy sometimes.
Well, I think that's the thing with, like, you know, if we think of this as like their a work setting, you know, like the Bachelor universe, like in any work setting, you're like, that's a bullshit artist. That's someone who's climbing. That's someone who's doing this character to try and work the corporate ladder. And yeah. You, as you said, like, I agree with you. It's like that moment of like it, you know what it's like? It's like when someone does something crazy on a plane and then you see the crazy thing and then you look over and someone in another seat looks at you and like rolls your eyes at the person you saw do something crazy, and you're like, thank God. Okay, good. I'm glad we're both. Right. I'm not the wild one. Like, okay,
that
good.
Validation right. that you needed to make sure.
Yeah, Tyler Cameron's like our validation for like this Bachelor world has, you know, climbers and people not really mm-hmm. being who we think they are and all those things. And it also encourages you that real people go on the show that are fun and easygoing and on the good side, not to just talk shit, but like on the other side of it, like a guy like Tyler like exists in this world. Like I would even say, like, you know, Jason Tardik, when I talk to that guy, like I'm always like, what a guy. Like what a there's other names to bring up that I've enjoyed hanging out with, but
he's a good one. And I remember one time we were hanging out, it was Tyler and myself and Matt James and a few other people. We were in an Uber and I played some song. I don't even remember what the song was, but Tyler was like, oh my God, I like this song. Wait, I want to follow you on Spotify. So Tyler Cameron follows me on Spotify.
I love it.
I don't know. Love like, it. I don't know what that means. I don't understand the following people on Spotify thing. Like, I know like podcasts and stuff, but individual people. Yeah. I don't. So wow. I have a random follower of Tyler Cameron on Spotify. So the pressure's up.
Yeah, you better listen to some good stuff. I know. You're like iHeartRadio for him. So we want to get into this episode. We're going to do a brief recap. I think, like, you know, and if you want to go watch Hannah Brown's opening episode, you have to buy it. You got to go on Amazon and buy it. Surprise, surprise. I think for me it was 79 cents or something. It was something like...
It was $2.99 for me. I'm gagged.
I think... Are you a Prime member? I think I might have gotten a discount. I don't know why I got a discount. It was like 79 cents for some reason. Maybe I had something...
But it's the second episode.
Right.
Make sure it's the second episode, not the first.
Do not get the first episode. It's the second episode, which is kind of like how I was looking to start this. Like, it is so interesting for me. And we talked about Colton season on another... two episodes ago, we did Colton season. Colton season was such a, like, it was Times Square, New Year's Eve, Dick Clark rocking New Year's Eve. This was like a dressed down opening episode. Did you notice that? Like, it was very weird to be like, and I don't think the show just like got unpopular. Like, it was just bizarre the way they started it, but I ended up enjoying it more. I don't know why.
I think they have less care for the Bachelorette.
Right.
It's more like nobody's coming into the Times Square to watch, you know, the Bachelorette. But I mean, I would, but people are doing it for the Bachelor. And I think that's the whole like thing around it. But I do remember the excitement of watching Hannah Brown be told she was the Bachelorette in real time, because we found out later that was a real phone call. She didn't actually know that she was going to be it. They just like, there were cameras,
right.
But they didn't, they said, I think she did an interview and they told her that they were doing like a few interviews with random girls from the show about something, and this happened. So I remember that being like a big deal, us watching that happen.
So a couple things. You're right. It is weird. Well, you're right. The Bachelorette does not get the treatment the Bachelor gets. And it is like never been more evident than this opening episode, because it's like Colton gets this New Year's Rockin' Eve. The virgin is finally gonna fuck, you know, like, and then they bring in Hannah Brown and it's like, oh dear Hannah from Tuscaloosa. They really try to like make it this wholesome thing after we just did Colton's first fuck fest, and it's
exactly.
like bizarre. I and it almost is like they went too far with a theme. Like they went too far with Colton's theme. We talked about it on this show. Just all the innuendo. It's all about sex. They're lighting streamers on fire, and then you get to this, and it's like cozy home goods. Sweater Hannah Brown and
yeah,
you know, fall in Tuscaloosa and Roll Tide. And
they go to like the grocery store or whatever, and the clerk is like, I'm proud of her. And I'm like, who is this?
Right. And even Hannah goes, really? Like, she looks at him. And I remember I was, and still kind of while rewatching this, I was like, Hannah, like, I had so many eye roll moments at Hannah Brown, and I'm going to trust Tyler Cameron, like, and I'm going to trust you, your impression of her from the boot camp show, mm-hmm. and I'm going to trust how she's been pretty cool throughout the test of time. But in these opening scenes where she's aw shucks Hannah, like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I know they snuck up on her, but like, you're also Miss Alabama. Like, you have done pageants. Like, when they're taking pictures, she's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. It's like, you've been taking pictures since you've been born. Like, this is like your job. Like, I don't understand this. And I do believe Hannah. Like, I believe, here's my assessment after watching this. Because I eye rolled so much at a lot of the things Hannah did, and it's just not relatable to me. But I do think Hannah does believe everything she says. Like, I can't believe it's me. Oh my God. Like, I do think in like a Taylor Swift, like, who, me? I'm the Emmy winner? You know, like, I think if you went to Hannah, like, I think she's got to be the type of person for her to be cool. And I do believe this is her. Where you'd go, you don't know what to do with your hands. You were Miss Alabama. And she'd go, and laugh at herself. Like, I do think that that's her vibe after watching.
I do too. I do too. And then, it's just like, it's her vibe, but it's also in her blood. You don't just win Miss Alabama, become the Bachelorette, win Dancing with the Stars,
right?
Win.
And be shocked all throughout. This is happening to me?
Win Special Forces.
Right. And she's like, she's a winner.
No. I mean, Hannah Brown is a winner.
She's a winner. She is a winner. And, you know, I again, like, Taylor Swift is always going to say, I can't believe this is happening to me while being a billionaire. And Hannah Brown is always going to do this. And I don't think it's a, I don't think it's a gag. I don't think it's an act is my point.
I don't think it is either.
Right.
No.
But I do eye roll this person and like them at the same time. I think that's like, I kept like fighting with myself because I was like, I remember having the same exact feeling from her watching the season being like, Hannah, stop it. Like,
let's think clearly here.
Right. You're Miss Alabama. Like, I can't impress. But again, you said it right. Hannah's a winner. She wins everything she does. And then when they got out of the limos, we said this to Tyler, people are like fumbling. Like, they are in, like, she, and she sparkles. She's wearing the sparkly glitter dress. Like, I mean, she looks great. But it's like, she's a star, don't you think?
The Taylor Swift comparison that you mentioned is very real, because something that, I've been like seeing on TikTok and the internet is like one of the reasons why Taylor Swift is so famous and so likable, other than the fact that she clearly is an amazing artist, but it's the fact that she's kind of average and can like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like average run of the mill. There's nothing like super remarkable about her look, about or, like, you know, even like her singing's great, but she's not like, some like, you know,
Mariah
crazy
Carey.
Beyonce. Yeah. Like, she's not that, but she's so relatable, because it's like, you see Taylor on stage and you're like, oh, I could do that. Like, I could do that. She's not doing any crazy dancing, but that, I think that's why people like her. And then she's going through these relationships and talking about this. But I think that's also brings us back to Hannah.
Right. I've said this for a long time, Taylor Swift. And I think Hannah also captures the plight of the third hottest girl in the cool group of an upper middle class town.
Boom.
Like, I've got problems too. My problems are real. I can't believe this is happening to me. And I don't mean that sounds negative, but I don't mean that negatively. Like, I wish I was the third hottest girl in the cool group at the cafeteria you know, like yeah. in an upper middle class town. But like, that's a wide group of people. That's why Hannah has such a huge audience. That's why Taylor Swift has such a huge audience. It's like, it is very, everyone believes I got problems too. I have a guy I'm looking at from across the room, and no one sees me, even though I have a horse. No one sees me, you know, like, and mm-hmm. I can't really complain about that because someone can always look at me and go, but you got a horse and your family's doing okay. You know, so like Hannah kind of captures that essence a little bit. And she, and as Tyler said, like a star, like you see these yeah. men. I don't remember the men being as nervous on any other season as this one. Like
me either. They all of their entrances kind of flopped.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them. They all seemed weird. Dylan Barber seemed, he's a very charming, like easygoing guy. And he was like,
right.
wow, you're gorgeous. And like could barely like, right. you know, speak. And she had these men gagged.
Totally. And, you know, I'm trying to think, like, there was really Cameron who came out rapping. That was a very memorable because he won the.
Oh, yeah.
They did a thing where after the final rose, she got to see, like, her first five contestants. One of them was Cameron, who rapped for her, who ended up winning the first impression rose before even coming on the show. So he comes on with a rose on his chest ready to go, and he raps again. And he was a memorable guy because I remember we all made fun of the rapping guy. I got to say, mm-hmm. The cast very, the cast now is way more diverse than it was even then. Like, it is yeah. kind of wild. It was noticeable.
Very, I mean, it was like Mike Johnson and like three other guys. And then the guy who had, his like dad was white and his mom was I forget where he said she was from, somewhere.
Connor.
Connor.
They're Asian and mm-hmm. they're here there with his grandmother. Yeah, that was noticeable. And then there's Luke P was the story of the season, whether we like it or not. Luke P, a born again Christian, he goes a long way. He is, I mean, on this episode, he pops, you know, like he's a big part
he
of
does.
The opening episode. He says his sister-in-law signed him up and he was this bad boy in college and now he's like waiting till marriage. And what did you think of Luke P?
I do not remember how I felt when I watched the season the first time about him. I don't know if I liked him or not, but knowing what I know now and seeing the first episode again and seeing like him in this gym and how he's talking and like the super like very conservative, I was like, oh my God, the red flags are, I was like, this is going to be a shit show.
He gets on top of the limo and growls at her. That's the,
yeah.
Her going rawr back to him is like kind of like a picture I've seen before, but yeah. I forgot that was in response to him.
Yes.
Doing this animalistic growl.
Cause they call her the beast.
Right.
Hannah Beast. And she like, I mean, and him saying when he got out of the limo, his whole thing was like, you know, I'm the king of the jungle, whatever. And I was hoping you could be my queen. Bro, this isn't about, from, I heard that. He's like, oh, I was like, oh, he thinks this show is his.
Right. And so then we have Jed, who ends up winning. Jed, who's the musician. We talked a little about him with Tyler. It ends not great for Jed. We find out he had a girlfriend while on the show or whatever.
How do people not?
How do you get past Demi? Because Demi, our private investigator, also Katie Moe, is on this episode. And they're like there to like help Hannah out. And what you find out on this episode is they basically have the receipts. They've got this guy. What was his name?
Steve? Scott.
Scott. So they got this guy Scott by the balls before he even knows. And this is like one of those things where like the producers, like chef's kiss. They're like, I think they were like, it felt like the producers were like, okay, we got our first episode. We can kind of like coast because we know we got this guy whose girlfriend's written to us. We have the screenshots. It is a, it's a done deal. The case is closed.
He was the sacrificial lamb. He was the we had to put him out there. Like, that was it.
And they all knew. And then he goes with Anna and he's talking and they're, every word he says is in direct conflict with him having a girlfriend the Monday before he came on the show. And then he gets called out on it. He defends it. He says, he makes the claim. And as Tyler said, deny till you die, because he makes the claim that because she dated Colton, that that was the same as him having a girlfriend the Monday before coming on the show. What did you think of Scott? I mean, Scott to me was like every man who has ever been surrounded by the truth. You know, man who has ever been like, it's over for me, but I'm going to go down swinging. It was bad.
Like, she could have showed him the text messages of them saying, like, I love you to each other. And he would have been like, that wasn't, I don't remember sending that. I mean, he said, well, we weren't like serious. Like, we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. That whole, the fact that he's relying on the fact that it wasn't a label.
Right.
Is.
Well, he says, I'm not going to marry her. And it's like, you just think of her at home, like, seeing this, it's funny. I talk a lot on the UUP podcast, and I've talked about it here too, of like, there's a lot of men who are trained by what they've seen other men flop with, like to say buzzwords, to say, you know, to like, are they trained in how to do this? And you see that on The Bachelor Now and The Bachelorette Now, where the guys say things that they're repeating. You know, that they heard someone else say it sounded good. I want to be seen. You know, things that they speak in female sometimes. And I sound disgusting saying that. And I can understand why someone would bristle at that accusation. But then when I see this guy, Steve, he's who we learned from.
Like, yeah, he was the person that we had to watch fall, or that had to eat the Tide Pod, so we knew we weren't allowed to. You know, like, he was the one that had to do it.
Someone had to die from Tide Pods for me to know. Yeah, I'm probably not going to.
Maybe I shouldn't eat them.
I'm going to start using the word seen, and I want to find my person. Like,
yeah.
Right now, all these Bachelor contestants, they're almost doing cosplay of someone you would like to meet. This guy, Steve, the minute he's outed, is just like, take notes. Do not say any of these things in good company.
That was a tough watch, because especially watching it now and like the TikTok world that we live in, and all I get there are these TikToks that are like, you know what men like? No, I don't know what men like. Are you like, girl, if he does this, I'm like, stop, I can't. Let me be ignorant. I need to be ignorant.
Right.
I'm desperate to not know what men are thinking. I'm desperate to not know if he wanted to, he would. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, this guy, tough watch. I mean, if you watch the episode, if you go watch it afterwards, you will be shocked. It's shocking.
It's shocking.
It's so shocking how quickly the world has moved. You know,
this is in 2019.
Well, also a pre-pandemic world. Like, I don't know if like the pandemic had anything to do with it, but it felt like the world shifted. And I haven't seen one of these guys out in the wild in a long time. Like, or just like,
no,
like speaking publicly, like on a TV show.
They hide
show.
It better now. Right, like, right. Yeah.
Those were like the main things. There wasn't like a lot that happened. They had the cheating episode. You have Hannah. Chris Harrison was peak Chris Harrison. He's at the peak of his powers. He's inviting Hannah. He told her, you're the Bachelorette. The way he speaks is just so much in control of this show. We had Demi and Katie there. But, you know, again, our guest, Tyler Cameron, not a big part of the show, but, you know, Jed is almost jarring to see on camera because it's been so long since we've seen him. Like, it's so weird to see how he disappeared off the earth, you know?
Honestly, I forget about Jed always. I honestly, like, I remember thinking back when we decided we were going to do Hannah's season. I was like, who won Hannah's season? I remembered Tyler, but then I forgot about Jed. I couldn't picture who even won her season until, like, I was like, oh, right, that guy. And then I'm like, the reason I don't remember is because it was so absurd that she chose Jed over Tyler Cameron.
Right.
What?
And, I mean, also Peter. So
yeah, Peter.
Pete the pilot has his kind of like debut. There was another pilot that he out-piloted in the first episode. But yeah. Pete comes on in the uniform. And yeah, it was weird that she picked him over both of them. Because the both of them are like dynamic guys. But Jed was playing the music. Like even Jed comes out and he was like, he kind of flubbed it. The minute he pulls her over with the guitar, she is like starry-eyed. Like you can see it. And
see, that's my nightmare.
Right.
Having a guy sing them is my nightmare.
It can go in one of two directions. There's no middle ground on let me play a song for you on my guitar.
No.
And that was the famous thing from the season was you had Luke P, who shamed Hannah for having sex with Peter in the windmill. And then she has her famous line, I've had sex and Jesus still loves me. And then there was like this postscript of the episode where Jed, his family wasn't happy with their relationship and he had other girlfriends and it was in People magazine, I think. And, you know, Luke.
It was bad.
This was such, I mean, Tyler's right. This was probably the most eventful, memorable season of The Bachelorette that we've ever had. Like just the idea.
I agree.
I mean, I'm looking at all the storylines that came out of it. You have Luke P with, you know, his whole thing and the podium and coming back and trying to win her. You have Pete, the pilot, four times in a windmill. That's like a famous thing.
Huge thing, yeah.
And then you have Jed with him winning and then the ex coming out and all that stuff.
And now the ex is Hannah Brown's, it's her brother's wife now.
Right.
The ex married Hannah's brother.
I mean,
you can't make this shit up.
The DMs are a wild place. And then you have Tyler Cameron coming out of it as this like feminist icon.
Heartthrob.
Heartthrob model TV show host and just killing it. So
I mean, he came out of the gate dating Gigi Hadid.
Out of the gate.
Like that. I mean, this was fresh. I remember when I was talking about how he came into the office, to the Betches office, this was right after Hannah's season, and we did the whole lift thing, but I remember he was on the podcast, but he was like, we're not talking about Gigi.
Right, right.
He was like, we're not talking, it was like, I'm not talking about that, and God, we wanted to ask so bad.
And good for him. You know.
Good for him.
I'm happy for our friend Tyler. You know, that is fantastic. So, yeah, then there were rumors that Hannah and Tyler got back together. It seemed like he didn't say it, but it kind of felt like they had maybe a moment after the show ended. But, yeah, that's, it was what a tame first episode with what would become such a wild season, you know?
I know. It really was like, and we had so many characters that came out of that. I agree with you. Like it was,
but it was great.
A lot
setup.
Of people.
Like this episode was great setup because you're setting up conservative Luke, you're setting up musician Jed, you're setting up
rapping Cam,
rapping Cam. Yeah. So let's do some games. You ready?
Yeah.
Fantasy Suite Hometown Final Rose. I'm going to give you the last three, Jed, Tyler, and Peter.
Ooh,
Who are you doing the Fantasy Suite with? Who are you doing Hometowns with? Who are you giving the Final Rose?
This is tough. I would do Peter Fantasy Suite. I would do Jed Hometown because I feel like he'd be a good person to bring home, like chill with my parents, play the guitar, do something like awkward, but I feel like he'd be good around the family. And then I think I got a final rose to Tyler. Because I would do fantasy suite for Tyler, but I need it to last longer.
Right. Tyler's getting my final rose. There's no one that has my heart like Tyler. Peter is going to get hometowns. I've actually met Peter. He's a great sport about all this stuff. He's done stand-up.
I did see that he has done stand-up.
He did some stand-up. I was proud of him. I met him at the Comedy Cellar. He was, like, very nice. Peter, another guy. You know, whenever I brought up, you know, his mom, he would laugh, so that was okay. Jed is going to get my fantasy suite, but that's only because that's the only one left. He did our Live You Up show, and he was just not happy with how it went.
I wasn't at the You Up show, but I remember being at the office and, like, hearing the clatter.
To go behind the scenes, he was basically like, I don't want to talk about any of it. And I think I asked him about it, and I didn't think that I asked a question that was out of turn, like it made sense in the conversation. And I remember him looking at, I don't remember what the question was. I don't think we taped the episode, so I don't even know if we could go find it. But I remember I asked him a question that really he didn't want to be asked. And I don't remember what it was, and you're going to have to trust me on that, because I really don't. It really didn't feel like I was trying to get him. And I remember on stage, he looked at me, and it was like a death stare. Like, it was like, you crossed the line that I asked you not to cross. And I was like, and I moved on. I just moved the show along. And we ended the show, and I remember it was in Nashville. We didn't sell a lot of tickets. We went from, like, a bigger room to a smaller room. We're at City Winery. The whole thing was uncomfortable from the get-go, so, like, not just Jed.
Didn't they boo when he came out? Were there people that booed when
he came
out?
They were people that booed. And
that's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, and we came, and so we, like, shuffle him off stage. And City Winery was being weird in Nashville. They wouldn't give us, like, we were like, can we have, like, alcohol? You know, like, can you bring out, like, some drinks backstage? They'd give us, like, a glass of wine. Like, it was just, the whole night was off. And I remember I asked him whatever the question was. I don't remember what it was. Again, I if I remembered, I would say it. But it didn't feel like a big deal. He gives me the death stare. First of all, he comes out, he's booed. Then I ask him this question in our game that we're playing. He gives me a death stare. I'm like, okay, we'll move it along. Yuck, 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 yuck. You know, Fozzie Bear. And I shuffle him off stage, and I come back, and he apparently got very angry with our friend Nicole.
Oh, I bet you, because she was doing, like, the PR.
Right.
And it's because, and she was probably like, I told you I didn't want to talk about this shit. Like,
and she was like her first day on.
This was like, she was just started. She had just started.
Started at Betches. And you know, she was feeling a certain way. She felt, like, very hurt by this whole thing. And we calmed him down. He wasn't, like, screaming, but I think he, like, got mad at her. And
yeah.
So I kind of went and talked to him and tried to, like, get this whole thing smoothed out. I remember we got it to the Nicole Pellegrino. Why am I flubbing Nicole's name? It's Nicole Pellegrino. You can go follow. She does, you know, great stuff online and has moved more towards the influencer world. But back then, she was, like, just starting at Betches.
Just starting.
And he said something to her, and she was, like, so upset that she felt like she messed up, I think. It was more that, like, I don't know. I don't want to speak for anybody. But I went and talked to Jed, and I, like, you know, tried to ease it out. And he ended up coming out with us. He ended up having drinks with us. So, like, it was like water under the bridge.
What a turn of events.
Right. So it was so weird. I was like, are you mad or not? You know, like, and I think he was going through it. Like, if I'm to, like, be empathetic to his plight, that, again, you have random people booing you in Nashville, and you
sucks.
Made your own bed, but at the same time, it sucked.
Yeah, that does suck. Bummer. So,
all right, what's your fantasy suite hometown final rose?
All right. Do we want the fantasy suite hometown final rose, Tyler C. in a construction outfit? Tyler C. in a swimsuit, Tyler C. in a tux, because we got all the looks.
Right. It's a tough one. Tough one for me. I'm going to do, see, tux, everyone looks good in a tux.
Mm.
So that's fantasy suite. Tyler C in a construction outfit is going to get the hometown because if I wore a construction outfit, people would just start laughing immediately. So it does take a certain look. Like, you have to respect that he can pull it off.
Yeah.
People would think that I was like, it was, what's the joke, Jared? Stop.
Yeah, like,
YMCA, what's going on? And then Tyler C in a swimsuit has got to be the final rose because, you know, listen, when you can pull a swimsuit off, this guy pulls off a swimsuit like no one else. So,
I know. I'm aligned. Fully aligned. We are on the same page. I think that the swimsuit is the final rose.
There we go.
So we're objectifying Tyler. That is my fault.
That's okay.
But he's always been cool with it, you know?
I that's probably the thing I like most about Tyler is like, he knows he's good looking. You know, he's not sitting there being like, oh, shucks. You know, he knows.
And I don't have, I can make a little flirty pass and he'll like, yes, and me and not be like, okay, next question. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel dumb.
I told him we needed a couch cleaner if he was the co-host with Jesse Bond. Okay. First impression, Rose. Mine goes to Hannah. I just think the amount of nervousness everyone had around her, like, and the minute she's in that dress, it's like, oh, you're the bachelorette. You know, like,
she's locked in.
Locked in, yeah. Who did you give it to?
I said Mike Johnson. I just feel like he also didn't get a ton of time this season. He got a little bit, or this episode, but he was such just like,
he popped.
A great guy. He popped and he was so good looking and he was super charismatic and
his family was on there.
Yeah. Like he was, I don't know. I loved Mike Johnson from the beginning. I remember I did back then and I think, watching it again, I still do.
A lot of people were upset he wasn't The Bachelor.
Listen,
a lot of people,
I know,
that weren't happy.
They picked Pete, and then you know, they did the whole Matt James thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they didn't ask Mike because they missed their window with that. It would have looked like if they picked Mike at that point after Pete, it would have looked like an oops, we made a mistake, like a Band-Aid.
Right. I think they picked Pete over Mike because of his mom. Like, now thinking about
probably. It. Yeah, the drama, like, of the family.
There's a whole character here that we need to get on camera. I don't know. No, but I'm with you. Mike brought it. Villain of the week.
I said Scott, the guy who had the girlfriend. Watching that conversation was so cringe, and then knowing what happens at the end with Jed having a girlfriend, it's really a weird full circle moment. Who did you have?
I had social media. Just, I don't think any, it felt like, I know this is 2019, but like, did these guys just not think that DMs worked for any of their past partners? Like, did they just not know?
I don't know.
People could just, had their own profiles that they could talk on. I don't know. And it now more than ever, TikTok makes it so anyone's video can really pop off if it's got enough tea. I think that there's an unawareness here that's almost weird to watch of like the villain that social media can play in your life. Like that social media is watching, you know?
Yeah.
Cringe Harrison Award. Who do you give it to?
Luke P, watching his initial like hometown, or like they do the hometown thing at the beginning of the show, and him sitting there being like, you know, I'm a good looking guy and I had all these good looking girls and I was taking full advantage of it. And I'm like, that's disgusting.
Right.
Watching a guy like that talking about how hot he is and how like much he could pull, and then knowing later that he's like, oh no, but she can't do that.
I pulled so much I had to turn to God.
Yeah,
you know, like,
what?
Get out of here.
I can't.
Only Jesus could retire this cock.
Great.
I had Hannah's intro. It is so cringy to watch. I just her being like, aw shucks, when you were Miss Alabama. Like, it's not like you've never left Tuscaloosa. Like, she acted like she had never left the city limits. And you're like, no, you're a worldly, you know, professional at being on
camera, in front of people live, not even just on camera, but live.
Right. Will you accept this rose? Who won the week?
I said Hannah. I think, again, watching her season and knowing like where she started with, you know, Colton comes and has her season, Dancing with the Stars. What is it called? Special Forces, like Miss Alabama. It's really, Hannah is a winner, period.
I'm with you. I only to be different, I chose Tyler just because he does so little on this episode.
So little.
And what ends up happening for him and the way his life goes is just so wild. And just I love the way he talked about it. He's like, all these people with like, he's like, I'm just here, you know, making a couple $100 a week for my dad doing contracting work. And these guys are like finance guys and starting an app. And, it, you know, it tells you everyone has their own road and everyone, you know, stay true to who you are and you'll be okay. You know, like I think Tyler's a great example to look up to, you know, as far as like staying, you know, being yourself. You know, and
staying relevant just because you're being yourself.
Right. And staying true to like kind of your own code. You know, like he definitely feels like he's got, I do things my way and you can do things your way. But, you know, this is the way I'm going to go. It's like, you know, in a world of, you know, social media and comparison, it feels like Tyler's done a great job, like would be good at like coaching people out of that.
This is the Tyler Cameron fan podcast.
It really is.
We're just going back and forth. Like, no, Tyler did this. Like, no, you're right. When he did that.
He's just a solid dude. I've always been a fan. So, and you know, listen, for him to even come on this show, you know, like it's not like we sent like a million emails, one text, get on here. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it was easy. That's it for us. We did it again.
We did it. And next week we are doing Jersey Shore. We're going to watch the first episode of Jersey Shore season 1, episode 1. And we have Mike the Situation who's going to join us. So I'm very excited about that. I'm not a Jersey Shore girl. I do know Vinny, but like, I'm excited to watch this. So like, maybe I'll get hooked.
It's been a long time. I don't remember if I even watched it. I definitely was aware of it. It was a phenomena. Excited to meet the Situation. Yeah, Vinny now does some stand-up. So I know Vinny, done his podcast. Vinny's a good guy. It's exciting. That's exciting. I'm pumped to like, you know, and I've been getting some nice feedback from the listeners. People really enjoying this
same
walk down memory lane, so which is really nice. Yeah. So, and if you're out there and you're listening early on this, I'm in LA. Kay, I'm going to see you tonight. We're going out. Let's
see you tonight.
This.
Yeah, we have to figure out a plan for afterwards. I have a lot more people coming than I thought. So
really,
but we're locked in. Yeah,
tickets started like moving this week. It's such an LA thing. I don't know. And then the day of. You know.
They're like, you know what? Let me just buy it. Well, it's at 7, so I'm gonna have to leave at like 5:15 if I want to make it there.
I don't know why we're starting so early on a Thursday. It's so far away from everything.
It's the worst day of traffic.
Don't tell me that.
It'll literally take me an hour and a half to get there.
I'm so sorry. I'm
no. Oh my God, it's fine. We're locked in. But yeah. I have eight people in my group plus two more that just bought tickets, and then
thank you.
I think we have two more girls coming, so we're ready.
So LA, we're doing it tonight. Then New Orleans, Dallas, Nashville, gonna see Jed again. West Hampton Beach. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Newark, and then I go to Cleveland. So jaredfree.com. I'll see you tonight.
All right.
The best.
Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.